God's peace is always yours in Jesus. Hear the word of God from Numbers 21 and John 3. First of all, Numbers 21. The people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and cried out, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it on a pole, and anyone who is bit can look at it and live." So Moses made a bronze snake and put it on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. And John 3, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Dear friends in Christ, they're called fire snakes. God sent fire snakes into the camp of Israel, slithering snakes hiding in dark corners, sleeping in under tents and sleeping bags, venomous and deadly fire snakes. Many Israelites were bitten, and many Israelites died. The Lord sent these snakes as judgment due to the grumbling of his faithless people. Numbers 21. They spoke against God and Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is nothing to eat and nothing to drink, and we despise this horrible manna." They were ungrateful to God for his provision, pouring down manna from heaven. And so God's answer is basically, if you don't like the manna, how about some snakes? It seems like all they could remember was the food in Egypt, not the whips, not the bricks, not the bag of Pharaoh's tricks. We oftentimes make matters worse than they really are. Just look at the Israelites. They say there's nothing for us to eat or drink except this horrible manna, and that God is pouring down from heaven every day. But wait a second. With just a little creativity and a bit of gratitude to God, they could have really spiced up the menu. Why, they could have had banana bread, banana muffins, manna witches, manna cotti. Instead of grumbling, they could have hired Guy Fieri, who would have showed them all you can do with manna. Why, you can slice it and dice it and rice it and spice it and bake it and boil it and broil it and fry it and smoke it. Why, you could do pretty much anything with manna. But instead, they chose to grumble against the God who was rescuing them. So we're told the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and many were bitten and died. So now, stricken, smitten, and afflicted, the people came crawling back to Moses and crying, "We have sinned against the Lord and against you." This is why God oftentimes sends judgment, not the final judgment, but what we call secondary judgment. That's intended to lead us to repentance. And thank God for that secondary judgment. So a good place to start for them and for us is confession. Tell the truth. Admit it. Stop trying to cover up your crimes. "We have sinned against the Lord and one another in thought, word, and deed, both by what we have done and by what we have left undone." Stop trying to deny it. The sting of death has stung you too. That serpent Satan has bitten all of us and filled us with the deadly venom of sin and death. Don't blame others. Own it. The Lord sent the deadly snakes to drive his people to repentance. And if you don't repent, then comes the final judgment. don't think he won't do the same with us. God sends judgments, if you want to call it wake-up calls, in our lives to lead us to repent so that we won't face the ultimate judgment of hell with the serpent, Satan. So the people cried out to Moses to intercede to God, pray to the Lord to take away the snakes. Since the snakes are a judgment from God, only God can take them away. Moses stands between God and the people as a mediator. Moses stands in the breach between the holy God of Mount Sinai and the sinful people of Israel. Guess what? Jesus does the same for us. 1 Timothy 2 reminds us there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for many. Now, as a forerunner of Christ, Moses prays for the people to the Lord to take away the snakes. And the Lord answered their prayer through Moses, but not exactly in the way they wanted. The Lord didn't take the snakes away, but he did provide a cure or an anti-venom. The anti-venom for the fire snakes was like an Old Testament sacrament instituted by God, to which he attached his promise, make a fiery serpent out of bronze, put it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten can look at it and live. It was a sacrament, sort of like our baptism and the Lord's Supper. It may sound crazy, but it worked. God's promises always do. And everyone who looked at that bronze serpent on the pole lived because God said they would. Now, maybe you're thinking, but Pastor, how can a bronze serpent on a pole do such great things? Well, that's kind of the question that Luther ponders in his small catechism and that our confirmants learn. It's the same answer that we get for baptism. How can water do such great things? Well, the answer here is, it's not the bronze serpent, indeed, that does such great things, but it is the bronze serpent included in God's command and combined with God's word that does them. Notice the cure resembles the disease. Tuck that one away for when we get to Jesus. In this case, whoever looked at the serpent on the pole lived, for nothing is impossible with God. You've heard me say many times, we don't tell God how he can or can't forgive and save us from our serpent's bite of sin and death. No, we let God tell us how he has forgiven and saved us from the serpent's bite, which is the blood of the Lamb given to us through the word, baptism, and the Lord's Supper. Now, suppose you were one of those Israelites and your best friend or loved one is lying on the ground, writhing in pain and dying, bitten by one of the fire snakes sent from God that was intended to lead us to repentance. What would you do, knowing what you now know? Would you say, just pray the snake-bitten prayer and you'll be fine? No, it wouldn't work, for that's not what God told them to do. You would do whatever you had to do to lift their eyes to look at the bronze serpent on the pole, and you would remind them of God's promise. This is how you can live. Behold the serpent on the pole, look at it and live. Suppose you had been snake bitten and survived, because you did the same thing. You looked at the bronze serpent and now you're alive. Do you suppose you might be eager to urge your friends and loved ones to do the same? Would you worry about offending their sensitivities or their fear of snakes? No. You wouldn't take no for an answer. Imagine knowing about the serpent on the pole. Imagine being cured by that sign of God and then not telling anyone else in the camp. You could be charged with criminal negligence. Now let's take this up a notch. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, of course, on the cross, that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. The whole human race is snake-bitten. venom of sin and death is coursing through everyone's veins. We are born snake-bitten, dead with the venom of sin and of God's judgment. 1 Corinthians 15, the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law, or God's judgment. This is our condition. This is what our sin has gotten us into. Thankfully, our Lord has provided a cure for the serpent's bite. And it's a cure that also looks curiously like the disease. His own son Jesus, nailed to the pole of the cross, dying in writhing agony, damned by God in our place, stricken, smitten, and afflicted. Yet everyone who looks to him is and will be saved. This is how much the Lord loves our snake-bitten world. He doesn't just love the world abstractly. He doesn't just send out a form letter that says, to whom it may concern, I love you. No, he loves us very specifically, concretely, and personally. He sent his only begotten and well-beloved son, true God of his father, true man of his mother, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might have the full rights of sons. Jesus borrowed our sins, our death, and our hell, and he paid it all. He became the anti-venom for our snake-bitten world. The Father didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to be condemned for the world. And his condemnation is our acquittal. He did all the suffering and dying, and we get all the credit and life. Can you imagine how precious the anti-venom of that bronze serpent on a pole was for those Old Testament people? Imagine how grateful you would be if you were bitten. Well, in an infinitely greater way, how much more precious is the anti-venom of Jesus' blood, whose forgiving blood and innocent suffering and death has forgiven every sin we ever did wrong and saved us in every way that a person can be saved. And now you've received this anti-venom from God in God's word, in baptism, and in the Lord's Supper, and you live. Now, do you know where anti-venom comes from? Those who seek to produce anti-venom take the poison from a snake or a spider, and they inject it into oftentimes a horse or a goat. But for our purposes, why don't we insert a lamb for dramatic effect? And as the poison courses its way through the lamb gets sicker and sicker and looks as if it might indeed die. But the lamb will build or develop antibodies or immunity to the poison, so long as it doesn't kill him. And if that lamb survives, then its antibodies can be harvested as the anti-venom to the poisonous venom. In other words, anti-venom comes from one who has survived the poison. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us. God the Father injected Jesus with the poison of our sin and the venom of our death. And then God hung up his own son, Jesus, on the pole of the cross to be cursed and damned in our place, to drink the full cup of God's judgment for us. Jesus endured the sting or the snake bite of sin and the full-blown, undiluted wrath of God, and it did look like it was all over as Jesus bowed his head in death. But his blood started flowing again on Easter morning. On Easter morning, he rose triumphant from the grave, victorious over sin, death, and hell. And now, having survived that sting of death, Jesus has the antibodies of his forgiving blood to overcome the venom of sin that is in us. And this anti-venom of Jesus' blood, his death and his resurrection, are here for you in the waters of baptism. 1 Peter 3, baptism now saves you, the snake bitten. that saves you by the resurrection of Jesus. The anti-venom of Christ's blood is here for you in the Lord's Supper. Take and eat, my body given for you. Take and drink, my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness, the anti-venom of all your sins. And this sacred remedy of the Lamb of God is here for you in his word. John 1, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Revelation 12, we overcome the devil, the serpent, by the blood of the Lamb. And the anti-venom of Jesus' forgiving blood works. John 6 says, very similar to the book of Numbers, whoever looks to the Son and believes in him has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Why? How? For just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life. So look on Jesus. Look to Jesus. The anti-venom of your sin and of the death and judgment of God, and live forever. Point others to him, and they will live forever. The sting of death is sin, and the venom of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory, the anti-venom, the cure, the holy elixir, the medicine of immortality, the sacred remedy by which we conquer death, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith, the life everlasting. Amen.